Which brings us to item seven, which is it's hard to think that something could have overtaken the prior item in terms of interest, and but here we are.
Building on that enthusiasm and excitement on the first report, we're going to take you to another exciting topic here. During the last discussions, we've taken a revised and summarized look. So I'm happy to note that the document itself has been gone through a diet and less pages and more informative. We want to summarize, we want to tell the picture, and we want to tell a lot of information, but we want to focus on what's important first. So good morning, members of the board. Hello, Henry Gadina, your friendly accounting manager. I'd like to start off by presenting two topics here, a status on the 23 budget that we have going on, and we have a third quarter expense update to that. And we use that information to build an estimate for the 2024 budget. So there's two things going on. But I also want to appreciate Tim and Brian's presentation. Just some takeaways from that. That is about $24 million or so in private alternative asset fees. We also have the public markets that are also in our Act for Financial. We have some bank custodial fees. And with the presentation of this budget, that gives the board a good indicator of the cost, administrative and investment-wise, what it takes to run the plan. So we thought that it was it's a good complementary approach, so I want to kind of go into that. So going back to the construction of the budget, you know, we have a budget versus actual, and we also estimate and create a new budget. With any budget construction, there's increases and decreases, so we wanted to focus on just that. What's it changing over last year? So in the cover page here, let me take our handy dandy. We spell out the biggest increases and the biggest decreases. I just want to focus on the fact that the increases, it primarily is driven by two big drivers. We are happy to say that the staff vacancies from last year are filled, almost filled. We're about filling them all. We shortly fill some others. So that's good to note. The cost of having those positions in, the cost of COLAs, staff increases, it's also built in there. So that's a driver. Another driver is the estimate that the pension system is going to go live about mid-year. As I've mentioned before in other presentations, there's a depreciation aspect that occurs when the system goes live. It's going to depreciate over 10 years. And the numbers right now point to somewhere in the middle of the year. So about 6 months worth is going to be depreciation. That's amortizing the cost of that pension system. So it shows up as depreciation cost. And you'll see that here as the other big driver of the budget. There's decreases that occur too. There are some estimates that we're pointing down because of the filling of staff. We're looking at less overtime, the less need for temp help and things of that nature. There are some other administrative costs, employee benefits. We have less rates. The OPEB trust, the valuation report we saw last, showed that it was in a overfunded condition, which is good news, and that translates into a lesser contribution. So that's reflected here. We have less expected needs for professional services, attorney, studies, election cost. We use the county for election costs. And also the legacy system, CPAS. We expect that to sunset itself, so that's going to be less support, less IT cost for that, and also the project consultant, Siegel. We expect less use. So all of these are expected to be forecast, and that causes a decrease. So with every budget, there's increase and decrease. The total budget, if we move over to page two, there's a lot of numbers, a lot of detail for your review, but the summary information is down at the bottom. The gray on the left side is the budget versus actual. And right now, as I mentioned, it's third quarter. So the budget last year was 19.6. If you go down to the bottom line, 19.6, And through the third quarter, we spent 13.3, leaving us as a under budget situation of 6.3. So it says we have 32% left in the fuel tank to carry us to the end of the year. Assuming it's third quarter, that number should be around 25. And because it says 32, that means we're trending below budget. But there's a lot of bills that timing-wise arrive late, so we settle up at the end of the year. So I just took a quick look, and that number is probably going to be about 10% left for the year. So we're trending well. We're trending about $18 million spent for the year. What that does, it gives us a good information on how to build our estimates for next year. And that's the column over, the blue column over on the right. That's the proposed that we have for your review. And that 2024 proposed budget totals 20.6 down at the bottom. And it's about an $844,000 increase, around 4% over last year. And that's a number I'd like to focus on. It's like, why is it changing? You know, what's going up? So a lot of detail up here, but I try to summarize best. Any questions? Anything stand out here? So far, so good?
No, I wanted to compliment you on the both the graphic and the text summaries that sort of highlights, lowlights, but mostly highlights. It's really easy to follow. So at least from my perspective, it's really well presented and it makes a lot of sense. It's interesting how big the depreciation piece is of the increase, right? I mean, we talked about it last year, actually, that we anticipated this and knew it. So
just want to prep everybody, like how that works, how it lands, you know. And these are accounting rules, audit rules, and so we do the best. Now, naturally, if it goes live later, goes live sooner, that changes the number. But right now, this is a forecast, best information we have on hand.
Yeah, it's great.
Thank you. So let's see. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jerry. Yeah.
I assume that you're touching base with the systems development people to determine. I mean, the burn rate on the project is increasing and forecast to increase. So are you using the latest forecast that we've got in terms of
absolutely
the project cost?
Absolutely. We use the most favorable, the most unfavorable. We try and blend it all in, the best news, the worst news. You know, we expect the best, brace for the worst. You know, so we take a look at the best information. Naturally, we got to come up with something.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of input and feedback that occurs in the construction of these numbers, not just the accounting. You know, Ms. Christina Dunn, the San Lu, the IT people, Jesse, he might be going up here and giving an update. So there's a lot of review that goes on. And later on, we'll talk a table on where the costs are regarding the pension.
Thank you.
So let's see. Yes, Dennis.
Looks like for the disability hearings, we didn't use much of the money. Kind of backloaded, or because not that many people filed for disability, or is it because it's cheaper? I don't know. Just what did...
Never going cheaper. Never going cheaper. We heard earlier everything going up. It's a matter of usage. It's hard because what drives those hearings and the reviews is basically the submission of the disability applications. And so when they land and when those services are needed is where we try and estimate. And so we use our historical as best we can. And that's what it is. So maybe we'll use more, maybe we'll use less, but that's the number we try and do account.
No, it just like, we still had like 80% after three quarters, so it was pretty drastic, I guess, change. So that's why I ask.
And again, I take a look at the history and I present it to the folks who actually interface with the physicians, with the hearing. Any feedback, Christina, on that?
I can add that we had less disability hearings this year for a few different reasons, but part of the hearing process is that all the information we have goes to our disability attorney once the member has requested that hearing. And she reviews that and then sends it off and then the member goes and sees a doctor, and depending on what that doctor's information is, sometimes she'll make a recommendation to not go fully to hearing, which then saves us some costs with the administrative law judge and the clerk recorder and things like that. So it sometimes goes a different route than we expect, but we usually try to budget anticipating that it will go fully all the way to the ALJ.
That's also reflected in your other professional services. That's why we didn't pay so much for that as well.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well said. Next year, I'm going to record all that, what you said, and put it down, commit it to memory, and put it there, because I think that was well said. So our next slide here is basically putting visuals on where the increases and decreases are occurring. The two big graphs on the far left and the far right is the professional, the personal services and the depreciation. Those are the biggest contributors. Everything in the middle is basically office expenses, ups and downs, you know, how it puts together. But I thought a nice visual saying where the biggest increases, you know, made the sense. We summarize it there where what the actual dollars are. Continuing on with our pie chart, this total annual budget really is comprised of two types of numbers, the administrative costs, the ones that are capped by CERL at 21 basis points, and the non-administrative cost. The non-administrative is basically our legal department fees, our investment department staff fees, their overhead, rent, we allocate office costs, and our IT disaster recovery costs. So the best way to present all that is basically on this pie chart here. The big budget is the circle. Roughly about a third of it is non-admin. The gray is the administrative costs. Those are the ones that are subject to the CERL. So using our last valuation report, the AAL, the actuarially accrued liability, showed about $11.9 billion. So when you factor 21 basis points against that, it gives you a CERL limit of $25 million. The budget that we're presenting, the administrative side, is about 14.6 of what we're proposing of the 20, about 71% of it. So that's in the 11 to 12 basis points. So we're well under the CERL limit, about halfway through. So that's good news. You know, we have plenty to go there. Any questions here? Moving along nicely. Good, good, good. The last chart, again, is mostly what's driving this, is our pension system. It's called a capital budget. Two things that occur here. The depreciation of other assets that we've built. Most of them had to do, besides the pension system, have to do with our office when we moved in 2019. Leasehold, some office equipment, things of the nature. We moved in 19, and here it is, almost four, you know, time flies. And so the good thing is that some of those are fully depreciated, will be depreciated by 24. That's why you have in that column, useful life remaining, half a year. It's only about 6 more months, so they'll go away. But to replace that will be the pension system, so that'll come in there. The table on the top is just a little informational on where we stand with the contracts. Right now we have about 14.7 in contracted cost with Sagitec and with ICON and the full construction of the pension system. We spent 4.8 as of September 30th, which is roughly a third, and the remaining is to be incurred. It just gives us an idea of where we're at money-wise. It's not tied to the progress of the project. It's just where we are on the contract.
Henry, just looking at the other capital assets list, I see security equipment, AV equipment. I mean, those were straight-lined on a five-year basis, it sounds like.
Correct.
But we're going to, I mean, we will incur at some point a cost to replace those, whereas the pension system is obviously new and it's just coming online. But
our furniture may outlast the straight line depreciation, but some of the other stuff won't, right? I mean, so we're actually going to spend money on those at some point.
There's going to be replacements. Probably during that time, there's going to be new additions. So I'll bring it in the budget and say this year we expect to improve the boardroom or something. I'm just creating something or a brand new leasehold addition. So they'll come here as part of new additional budgets, just like we're treating with the pension system. There'll be new ones. Yes. Those years, a useful life is just an accounting rule of what's right. a normal, reasonable spread of the cost. You know, it's not all in 1 year, so what's the best one? 5 years is what we used. The leasehold improvements, the actual build-out of the office, the construction of offices, that one we took a little longer. That's why we have 5.5 years left on that one. There's more use. And that's where the 10 years comes in. Right. Then we have a longer term.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
Any others?
Henry continues, or were you wrapping up? What were you doing?
I was wrapping up, unless okay. there was so much excitement that we want to continue this, but I guess not. But I thank you for the time, the energy, and with that, I'll leave it for your consideration, approving the proposed 2024 budget.
All right. Thank you, Henry. Thoughts, comments from the board? A motion, perhaps? So I'm going to construe that as a motion to adopt the 2024 CICERA budget. Is that right? All right. So there's a motion and a second to adopt the proposed 2024 CICERA budget. Any further discussion or questions of staff, Henry, anybody? Seeing none, let's vote on the motion. Anderson.
Aye.
Chabotarev.
Aye.
Gordon. Aye. Holcomb.
Aye.
Kroll?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Watts?
Aye.
And Wong?
Aye.
All right. That carries 9-0 unanimously to adopt. Thank you, Henry.
Absolutely.
As always,
thank
good
you.
Seeing you and a great report.
You bet.